could have been times when she would have been like, this must be just as I've been told. My hope, my expectation is built on the fact that I know this God because I know the scriptures. And now I've met my cousin who's having a miraculous event as well. And she has spoken words to say, you are carrying the Lord, which was like the Messiah. But I wonder in her mind, did she have some idea of what this baby's kingdom was like? Because basically she lived in a Jewish, under a rule of King Herod, but that king was really just a puppet of the Roman state. And so her image of a kingdom would have somehow been in the world's understanding about a kingdom, a place, a human place. Whereas what the angel said is, this is a kingdom that will never end. So on so many levels, what Mary is being challenged to hope for is against all the circumstances that would have been around her that she would normally have understood. So you and I could possibly have a lot of sympathy for this woman to have actually not been that expectant, even with all these things, because thereafter she had 30 years watching this little boy growing up. There was the event at the temple, we know, but apart from that, he seemed to just be around and about with his family, with his father, becoming a craftsman. At which points, I wonder, did her hope start to dissipate at all? And we know that the first time that she saw a miracle was when she was in this wedding, and she asked Jesus to turn water into wine. So she must still have had that pondering knowing, that hope that was real and alive. So how does our hope compare? How much do we hope that God's promises, the sort of promises that are in my little Advent box, the many promises through Scripture that God has said to us, like, I am with you always, do you have an expectation that that is true, even when your circumstances are challenging? Do you have a hope and expectation, as Jesus said, that he's going to come back one day? Or have we lived so long that we just presume, oh, that, well, sometime in the future, life will be different? But it says in Scripture, make sure you are ready. What does that mean? How do we get ready for the fact that one day Jesus is coming back? And the scriptures say all eyes of the world will see him, and we'll think, well, how does that work? And we might think, well, we've got the internet now, so maybe they'll be Googling it. I think it's going to be bigger than even Google. The truth is that in this Advent time, we are being encouraged not just to have hope because Jesus has been, but hope because Jesus is coming again. And he has told us to be people of his who use this time of our lives for the purposes of telling others. Which is why I am passionate about the fact that we get advertising out to the local area so that people will come. Because often people come in stages to get to know about things in church. They'll go to something that looks less scary, and I'm hoping a petting event will be less scary. But then I hope, because they'll be in our hall and we'll keep the doors open, they'll see that it's all ready for carols by candlelight. Because in that service, again, hopefully not too scary, we'll do the traditional readings, we'll have the traditional carols, which hopefully many of them know. See, I use the word again, hope they do. I don't know if they will know them. Our generation was brought up with these carols, and so we are singing something familiar. So I'm hoping they come through the doors, and I pray, and I ask you to pray, that in this Advent month, we pray that the people who come to the petting will come into the church, and then having come into the church, they will start to be challenged and think, what is this all about? Maybe getting bored with all the stuff of Christmas. I was in the Christmas market in Tring yesterday. Anybody else go there? Wow, it was busy. It was all blitzy and, you know, noise and lots of stalls. nothing about Jesus and the real hope of Christmas. I really hope people get bored with that. As much as I love pretty Christmas-dressed tree, I want people's hearts to be changed, to know that there is a hope beyond all of this stuff. There's some quotes that I thought were might be helpful. Desmond Tutu, Christian there in South Africa, he said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness." The world has got so much darker, I feel, in so many ways over the last years. Maybe I've just become more aware of the wars and the horrors, I don't know. But it feels like it's dark. But we can have a hope that is not dependent on these circumstances. I used to have a minister who I loved very much, a man called Reverend Jim Graham, and he had a phrase. He said, "Never let go in the darkness what God has revealed to you in the light." For me personally, or through the scriptures, what do the scriptures tell us God is like? So we will all go through dark times. Franklin Roosevelt said this, "We have always held to the hope, the belief, the conviction that there is a better life, a better world beyond the horizon." Whether he was just talking politically, I don't know. I don't know the context. But he speaks of something beyond. And that is something that fuels our hope. We can have a real hope because there is a better life that is coming. But what do non-believers think? Benjamin Disraeli was a prime minister who grew up in a Jewish family. He converted, well, he went to church, shall we say. I don't know if that was just a political angle or what. But he said this, "I am prepared for the worst, but hope for the best." That's a sort of phrase that we can say about our petting of the animals. "I'm hoping that we have a dry day, but I'm organising a gazebo in case it rains so that there's a place for people to be under it with the animals. The donkeys and apparently the pony will be fine if it rains, so I'm told, I've checked." But that's not really, I'm just prepared. That's all about me and what I can do. What about this one? John Wayne. "Tomorrow hopes we have learned something from yesterday." Well, I do hope we learn. We've got lots to learn, always. Every day is an opportunity for learning. We don't stop learning just when we stop going to school or college or university. We need to learn from our past. We need to learn as a country from our past. There was a time when prime ministers would call churches to pray, as we talked about a few weeks ago. I so wish. But we are where we are. But I find that it's very helpful to listen to people who've done a lot more research than I have, who have experienced really thought-provoking conversations with people about why can we realistically have a hope that what Jesus said is true, that there is, at the end of time, a new beginning, that after Jesus was killed, he was resurrected and he came back to life. We're going to watch a 2-minute clip now by a man called John Lennox. He's a professor of mathematics. He's still alive. He's at Cambridge University. And this is what he explains.
But I want to be very upfront with you. I'm nearly 80 years old. And after a lifetime, I have no hesitation of saying to you, as a scientist and a Christian, that my greatest hope is a hope of glory because Jesus Christ is within me. That may sound very strange to you, but I've got a real expectation for the future, an ultimate expectation that transcends all the misery of this earth because it's rooted outside this world. Now, expectation and hope are not quite the same. If I have aggressive cancer, and I have some kind of cancer, I might well expect to die. And yet, my hope transcends death. Our knowledge and memory of the past gives us identity. And our hopes for the future give us meaning in the sense of giving us something to live for. I'm a Christian because the Christian message is, to my mind, the only message that brings ultimate hope. And what authenticates Jesus' claim to be the Son of God who gave his life for us is his resurrection from the dead.
He's a man who has had many dialogues with very brainy, clever people, lawyers, and he's discussed with them, what evidence would you need to see to believe in the resurrection from the dead? And he's talked with these lawyers, and he's been able to say, well, this is the evidence in the Bible, this is the evidence of history, this is what the disciples, the followers of Jesus, did after they had met this risen Jesus. The fact that people went on to be willing to die because they so believed that what Jesus had said and done was true. And basically these lawyers that he's talked to have said, yes, you've got all the evidence that we would expect in a court of law to actually say, this is true. Your hope is not built on waffly thinking. It's not built on an old document, the Bible, that is not true today. That those lawyers have seen, no, there is an authenticity that they can have hope. In the Old Testament, there were 322 prophecies about what the Messiah would be like. 322 of them. This man talks about those in another clip, but I won't show you that because it's a lot longer. But he talks about the fact that people, if they're truly seeking, if Jews are truly seeking, their books already show the sorts of Messiah who's coming. He was going to be a suffering Messiah. He was going to be a king, but not the sort of kingdom that they might have understood. And so Mary, even if she only knew a few of those prophecies, was seeing in the birth of her baby the fact he was born in Bethlehem, the fact that towards the end of his life, he was taken, he was stripped of his clothes, and they shared them all out. Those things are prophesied in the Old Testament. So there was expectation that had good substance. And my encouragement to us is, so should our faith today. We can be people who just linger on the fringes of faith without actually realizing, no, this is really absolutely authenticated truth. And so your hope doesn't need to be vague. The Bible talks about hope. It says, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. What we're hoping for doesn't mean that life's not going to be difficult. Jesus said in other parts of the scriptures that life would be difficult. In the Old Testament, there are two Hebrew words used, chara and bacha, and both are used to indicate a trusting in God that disappointment doesn't erase. So that's the history that Mary and Joseph and all the people of the time when Jesus was born, they have those things available to them. But the challenges are, do they read them with an open mind? When you read the Advent story, do you come to it with an open mind? Do your friends or family, or do they just think it's a nice, cute story? Because the effect of what we hope for will be lived out in the way we live. Mary was changed because of that meeting. Her life, we know, was on one level completely normal. She had other children. But it says she pondered these things in her heart, that what the angel had said to her. So she'd take them in and ponder, like a cow chewing on the cud. We're to be people who chew the scriptures similarly, so that we can have a faith. In Hebrews it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and an assurance about what we do not see. You and I can't see Jesus now. It's hard following a Saviour that we don't see, but we have the Holy Spirit who is at work around. And if we have eyes to see, and if we listen to what's happening around the world, we can see that God is on the move. This last Monday I had, when I went and I parked my car near Luton and Dunstable Hospital, I had a wonderful meeting with Ernie and Margaret, and I'd taken my little communion set. And in there, in the bit that Ernie was in, there was just two people, another man who Ernie had already started to talk to about faith. And that man had noticed that Ernie had gone to the chapel on the Sunday. And he said, oh, I wish I had gone to that, but I was waiting for my wife. Anyway, behind the lovely blue concertina curtain of hospitals, which they draw as if you're not going to hear anything, makes me laugh. Anyway, I was just giving communion and was talking and praying with Ernie and Margaret and just prayed with them. When I pulled back the curtain afterwards, the man said to me, look what you've done to my wife. I said, what have I done to your wife? She's in tears because of what she'd heard me talk about, a faith that we can be confident in. Ernie's life, we don't know how long he's got, but we have a confidence, and Ernie, my goodness, Ernie has that absolute confidence. Anyway, on the back of that, I just felt like I should say, do you want me to pray with you to this man and his wife? We'd never met. And they went, yes, bring it on. That was his word, bring it on. So I took his hand and I took his wife's hand and I prayed. I said to them, what do you want me to pray for? I said, I didn't always believe in God, by the way. I said, but now I know that God is God and he loves all people with a love that we don't really know. But it is real. Anyway, he told me what to pray for, so I prayed. And they were both in tears. And it was a kind of a sense of, wow, I'm just here visiting one of our flock and God's given another opportunity. So you do not know if you give out a little advent book with an invitation. You don't know how God may already be preparing. That man had a history with his family that they had used to be churchgoers. But I, you know, the long gap. Anyway, I don't know what the outcome of that one is going to be. Maybe I was just that small chink in a chain. And so might you be. In giving out an invitation, don't worry about what people are going to think of you. At least you're being kind and showing them you're interested in them. So an invitation is just an invitation. And maybe they'll go, well, why do you go to church? So it's good to be ready. Mary could have lost faith. She could have not believed all that happened in her background, her forefathers. She could have stopped believing that God was real or that he was interested in people like her. She could have stopped believing that God would break into human history. And those are the sorts of doubts that lots of people have today. They don't believe what we believe. And we can be people who doubt. We can be people who doubt the scriptures are authentic, that they are reliable, that they are God-breathed. Those are the things that the scriptures say of themselves. We can stop thinking that God wants to come and work in you and me because we just think of ourselves as normal and ordinary. But so did Mary. Our hope is built on the fact that God has already broken into the world and he is going to come again. And he's promised that right now, I'm going to skip a slide, Julie, he is with us always. I am always with you. So in this week, whatever your week is like, hold this hope. There is nothing that happens in your life that God doesn't already know about. He knows what's happening. He knows the people you're worried about. He knows your health situation. He knows Ernie's health situation. It says in the scriptures, every day of our lives has already been decided. So what's the point of worrying? You cannot add a single day to your life by worrying. I need to speak that to myself. I can't add a single day to my life, and neither can you. Your hope is built on the fact that God is in control. So my prayer is for us that we live this week with that ringing in our hearts and in our heads.